starting to climb very chubby and always being like bigger than the other guys, that has always like affected me mentally. Like it's a bit of a struggle. A climbing shoe here for us like costs 1,300 reais for us, and that's like the same as the minimum wage here in Brazil. It's like I didn't do a one arm pull up before being able to like win nationals or send like my first V13 outdoors. If you're trying to solve it with strength, you're doing it wrong.
Welcome to another episode of the That's Not Real Climbing podcast. I'm your host, Ginny, and I'm excited to introduce my guest for today, Rodrigo Hanada. Rodrigo is a boulder and lead climber from Team Brazil. He actually started climbing fairly recently in 2018, but since then has been a two-time South American Cup winner and is working his way up the ranks on the World Cup circuit. In this episode, we talk about what makes training and climbing in Brazil difficult, how he feels like a weaker climber due to starting out as a chubbier kid, and mindset tips he uses while competing. I hope you enjoy this episode with Rodrigo. I'm excited to announce my new sponsor helping make this podcast episode possible, Mad Rock Climbing. I got fitted with their brand new line of high-performance shoes, the D2.1s. They just came out December 6th, but you might notice a few of your favorite GOM climbers are already wearing them, like Oscar Beaudrand from Team Canada, and also me. This is the first time I've gotten to wear their shoes for an extended period of time, and I'm actually super impressed with the grip of their in-house rubber, and of course, the famous drone heel that everyone says is the cheat code to heel hooking small edges. Feel free to message me if you have any questions about the shoes or sizing, and you can use the discount code NOTREALCLIMBER for 10% off your entire Mad Rock order. Info will be in the description. Back to the show. But yeah, how are you doing today? Are you just home in Brazil at the moment?
Yeah, I'm just home. Today is a rest day, so pretty chill. Nice.
Yeah. Where in Brazil are you from?
São Paulo. Okay. It's like the biggest city.
Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't know too much about Brazil, but we'll get into that later and I'll learn more, which will be good.
For sure.
But yeah, let's get right into it. How did you get started climbing and competing?
So yeah, I started climbing about like 8 years ago. I was pretty lazy in that time. Like I would always like stay at home and stuff. And some friends were like, oh, let's check out this climbing gym. And I just went there like without any expectations. And I couldn't really get to the top. I was like pretty chubby back then. And I And I was like, oh, I guess I want to come back and try to make it to the top, like in just in any boulder. And then I came back and that's how I started like just going and going, and I got really addicted to it. And I would go like every day after school. Yeah. Like when I was 14, I'm 22 now. So like 8 years. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's like pretty recent. And I think a lot of people can also relate to that kind of story, casually at least. Did you do other sports before that? 'Cause like 8 years is pretty fast. Especially for like getting onto the World Cup circuit. Did you like do other sports growing up? Or I guess you said you were chubby, so I don't know.
Yeah, like when I was young, like way younger, like I used to play rugby. I was on a rugby team. And I also did like 1 year of gymnastics right after it. But then I had to stop both of them because I had a problem on my knees. And the doctor
like
said
an injury?
I had to... Yeah, I still don't know exactly what it was. Maybe the doctor was wrong because now my knees, like, I don't have that problem anymore. But he was like, yeah, you have to stop all sports. And I've always been like really competitive. And so when he said it, it was like pretty devastating for me. And I feel like that's when I started like getting chubby and I was just sad. And that's why I would stay home. And I guess when I found climbing, it was like that escape. And it brought me back that feeling of like competing, but it was more like against myself. So that's what I really liked about the sport and the support that everyone would give you when you were on the wall. I feel like that's something pretty great about the climbing community. And I would say that something else that really brought me closer to the sport was the fact that I've always been into like solving puzzles and problems, like maths and stuff like that. And I feel like solving each boulder problem is always like something that's pretty intricate and always like psychs me up.
And so like the climbing didn't give you any like knee issues, especially with like bouldering. There's a lot of like falling and jumping down. I feel like some people get issues with their knees.
I had some problem like on my, I don't know the name exactly in English.
Yeah.
But I ruptured my ligament twice, like in the last year and a half.
Wow.
But it has nothing to do with the injury that I had like 8 years ago. So it just happened.
Jeez. Okay. How's climbing on that now?
I still, like, to be honest, it's still hard to deal with it. Like, doing some drop knees or very like intensive heel hooks can be scary, but I've been working it a lot with my physiotherapist and trying to work like mostly my mental game about it, because heel hooks have always been a strong point for me. And I feel like I've lost that kind of like superpower. So I'm trying to like get it back.
Yeah, that's really hard. How did you hurt it?
The first time was like 3 weeks, 1 month before Pan American Games that we're going to qualify for the Olympics in 2023. So it was like a big bummer for me. I was like feeling really good for that event. And I was still able to recover in 3 weeks and I still competed, but I like didn't have the results that I was expecting. And then I had it again in 2024 in Innsbruck. So like it was around August last year. And I was just like doing a lot of training and I feel maybe it was just like overusing it. And I did like a okay heel hook and it just popped, but it was like different ligaments. So the first time I was doing a drop knee, the second time I was doing a heel hook.
Yeah, I feel like it must be hard to like mentally get over that. I feel like recently I know a couple of people who also hurt their knees like doing drop knees or like hard heel hooks. And yeah, any like tips for how to get over the mental side of doing like a scary heel hook or a hard heel hook or something like that after the injury?
Yeah, I feel like something that helped me was like I was getting inspiration from other people that I also knew that injured themselves. So I feel like I also tried to like share a bit of my injury and like my rehab process, because I feel like having these stories to base yourself upon really help you like just put your head down and say like, okay, I'm going to work again, I'll be back soon, and this is gonna make me stronger. And I gotta say that like the times that I felt like I've had like the biggest like mental switches or biggest gains in my climbing were actually when I injured myself. Because that's when I had like enough time at home to like reflect about my training, what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, and really like try to make it like to a better path and work on other things that I normally can't. So like I struggle as well with like finger strength. This is something that is hard for me, like small crimps. And both times that I injured my knee were like periods where I could really work on my finger strength. So in the end of those periods, I was feeling way stronger. So I think that injuries, like, of course, they're really bad and not ideal for like a competition year. But if you like try to deal them in the best way possible, I'm sure that you can always take like positive outcomes.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot, that you can kind of like use an injury as a motivator to improve other areas of your climbing.
Have you had any injuries?
Shoulders are the main thing, but it's really hard to climb without using your shoulders at all. So yeah, honestly, with shoulders, I don't really know how to continue training with a shoulder issue.
Maybe some slabs.
Yeah, slabs. But even then, there's like some weird pressing stuff that was really hard to deal with. Yeah, it never got like fully like ruptured or anything. So at least there's that. But yeah, I feel like shoulders is a tough one. I feel like, Yeah, fingers and shoulders, those are hard. Thankfully, haven't had a finger injury though, knocking on wood.
Yeah, fingers are the worst.
Yeah, have you had a finger injury?
I've never had like a major finger injury. Like I've never fully ruptured a pulley, but I've had like minor ones that lasted for so many months. They're like pretty annoying.
Yeah, surprisingly, I feel like based on the athletes I've talked to, there's actually very few injuries, like finger injuries. And maybe that's like why they're great World Cup climbers, because they haven't had to take time off to deal with a finger injury. But yeah, going back to what you were saying about starting climbing fairly recently compared to other climbers in like the senior World Cup circuit, what do you feel like you focused on to get good so fast, especially kind of starting from like zero?
Yeah, so I think what really boosted my career here in Brazil was the fact that I went to Australia to an exchange program when I was in second year of high school. So when I was like 16, and I lived there for a year. And here in Brazil, like we struggle with the fact that the importation taxes to bring holds to Brazil are really expensive. And so the gyms here, we mostly have like national holds that are getting really good. Like recently we have some brands that are like standing out and stuff. But back in the day when I started, it was hard to have like exposure to like Cheetah, Flat Hold. We still barely have them here. And also like movement wise, we didn't have like coordination or slabs and stuff like that. And I feel like going to Australia really like opened up my eyes. And I was like learning a whole new like climbing world in 2019. And I feel like when I came back, I had this advantage over like some other athletes that were maybe stronger to like have learned so much like technique. And that's what I feel like I've done in the last like World Cup years as well. I was just trying to become like a better technical climber. Like I really focused on slabs and coordination, like really trying to understand how my body moves on the wall. And I feel like now, like in the last year, I feel like I've like got to a point where I'm like, okay, that's good. But now I need to start focusing more on my power. So right now, like my focus is 100% on getting stronger, stronger fingers to be able to like really be in that semifinals, finals level.
Yeah, what are like the holds that you were talking about earlier? Are there any like Brazilian hold brands that we might know of, or is it, have you never seen them outside of Brazil?
Yeah, so it's just expanding right now. We have a brand called Crux, and they're like dominating the market here like nationally right now. And they just started selling holds like to the US. I think they are going to Europe now, which is pretty cool to see. And because we're having exciting news, we're having a World Cup here. They are also going to be a part of it. They were able to get like a spot in the IFSC recognized holds. So I think you guys will all see some Crux holds in the World Cup.
Okay. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. I'm excited to see some different holds. That'll be interesting. I wonder if I've seen them before.
I think there were a few. In the last Pan Am Games we had, just like last year in November.
Okay. I might recognize them if I see them again. And so what did you move to Australia for? It was just like a school exchange program or?
My parents always thought it was good to do a year outside of Brazil. So like gain experience, like life experience. And my sister, she lives in Australia. And so it was pretty easy to... I lived with her, so
nice, yeah.
That was a really nice thing as well. She's like 15 years older than me.
Whoa, okay.
She was almost like a mom for me.
Yeah, wow.
When we were there.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. And it was, in fact, great. And I also went there back in 2023. I was back in Australia for more training because I thought it was a pretty great place to train, and I had like the opportunity to stay in my sister's house. So it was like cheaper than going to Europe.
Yeah, for sure. Does she also climb or no?
No, she actually used to be a professional ballet dancer. She danced for Bolshoi. I don't know if you know it. It's like a Russian company. It's pretty big.
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you been to Australia?
No, I've never been to the Southern Hemisphere. It's a little far. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, Brazil's also in the southern, in the south. Yeah, no, it's just really far. Like, I'm kind of surprised about how far it is, because I've like looked into like flights to like South America or like Australia, and it's always way further than I expect it to be, and then I back out. But I do want to visit at some point.
Yeah, you should. But it is pretty far. Like, going from here to Australia, it's normally at least 2 12-hour flights. It's,
yeah, like, exactly.
2 days traveling.
Like, once it gets around like the 20 hours of traveling, I kind of cap out there. But one day I really should. Did you get coaching there too, or was it just getting like hold practice with different holds?
I was mostly like just so psyched on having like crazy different boulders.
Yeah.
So I would like mostly just climb until I had no skin left every single day and try like all the climbs. But I did have like a coach back here in Brazil, and we would always like talk over the phone, see how it was going. So it was nice to have also some guidance out there.
Yeah. So then getting into your World Cup experience, you
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Who fairly recently just had your best World Cup bouldering result in Prague. I think you came in 35th. So definitely on the way to making semis. So congrats on that. That must be really exciting. What felt different about that World Cup for you?
About that one in specific, it was right after my knee injury last year as well. It was like 3 weeks, maybe four, after my knee injury. And I was in Innsbruck in that time. And I was like, I decided to stay in Innsbruck. And I also skipped Koper, which was lead. And I had like this 1 month to just recover, get stronger. And I'm like, I was so focused on it. And I feel like that really helped me getting stronger, getting really fit. And being in Innsbruck, like, you're always surrounded by so many strong climbers that I was able to like maybe start already getting into the World Cup environment before the World Cup. So I feel like that helped me. Like, every day I was seeing someone like pushing the limits of what I thought it was possible. And I had like really hard blocks every day to train on. And I feel like Prague was also an experiment. Like, I'm coming back from an injury, so I have no high expectations. But at the same time, I know I'm feeling strong. And the round also suited me. So I feel like it was like a combo of all those things. And yeah, I think that was also the second best result we had like nationally for Brazil.
Nice. Wow.
So I was pretty psyched on it.
How was your knee feeling at that time?
I competed with a knee brace. I don't know if that's the name.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. We had to ask for like a special, like, required to be able to use it. So with it, I was feeling pretty confident, and luckily I didn't have to do any strenuous heel hooks on my left leg. So it ended up being fine. It was just a bit unfortunate because one of the boulders, you had to like do a double jump into a pinch, like for the top, and it was pretty high up and kind of sideways. And the first time I got to it, I like fell like super bad. Falling, like twisting, and that got a bit into my mind, and I was like in the mats thinking like, I know I can send this, but I don't know if I want to risk my knee right now, because I had Pan Ams coming up. And so I decided to like not try the boulder again and maybe if I did, I would have been in semis, but.
Oh, wow. Well, there's next times. There's lots of World Cups coming up. The knee brace, was it like still a hard brace or was it just like some, like, does it actually keep your knee in place or is it kind of just like that mental like awareness of your knee?
It's like a sock, but it has like two hard plastic things on the sides that also move on the center of the knee. So they like stabilize when you fall. So it like gives you a bit, they work kind of as ligament. So it just makes your knee stable when you're not fully stable yet.
Yeah. I mean, impressive to get that result with a knee brace on. What do you feel like you need to focus more on in order to make semis like this season?
I feel like I've been on a good path right now, like looking up my results from the last, like I've been on the circuit for 3 years, I think. And first World Cup, I was like lost place.
Sure. Understandable.
And I've been building up. So I feel like this 35th place also built up my confidence a lot. It's hard to be in South America and not having hard blocks to train on and seeing like strong people doing impossible things every day and still believing that we can do it. I feel like in South America, we need to start believing more in ourselves, like all athletes, because of course we have less resources. We don't have the structure or the time of the sport being developed in the country for so long, but I feel like we have fight in ourselves, you know, we have the fight to do it. And I feel like I gained technique in the last few years, as I said, and now I feel like I just need a bit more power. So that's what I'm working on right now, getting more fit, stronger fingers. And I think I can do it.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that it's like hard for you to get difficult enough sets in the gym and that there's not as many other like strong climbers to, I guess, motivate you. I definitely understand like the need to like see someone doing something better than you to like get the psych up and get that like competitive mindset going. Have you considered living abroad for more practice?
I had for sure. There's a few factors, like it's pretty expensive for us. Like the dollar right now is like 6 to 1. So, and it's like, I always use like this example. I think it's a good example to measure things, like a climbing shoe here for us, like a Scarpa shoe, like a Drago, for example, that is what I compete on, costs 1,300 reais for us when you convert it. And that's like the same as the minimum wage here in Brazil. So like a climbing shoe costs like same or more than the minimum wage someone gets paid here for a month. So it's like pretty expensive, like the gear. And that's why also the holds are so expensive for the gyms. But I gotta say that it's been a really good few years. Like the gyms here are growing so much. Like the development in our country is like beautiful to see right now. And the federation just built us a very, very good training center. And that's where we hosted like South American championships. And that's where we will be hosting the World Cup. So I feel like we're getting there. And with the World Cup as well, we're going to get like more holds to train on. And also something that really inspired me last year was my friend from Chile, Benjamin Vargas. I don't know if you've heard of him. He was the first South American to make semis in a bouldering World Cup. And he did it last year in Salt Lake.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
I was like so psyched for him. And I feel like that was also like a boost that like, yeah, let's do it. Like the South Americans can do it. Benja, he just did it. So we can all do it too.
Yeah. So then how do you get like World Cup level difficulty practice at your home gym?
To be honest, we don't get like blocks normally on the gym sets, which is like understandable. Like the level here is not that high to have like, and we don't have as much resources to do it on the gym sets. So we normally just like create boulders on top of the other boulders, like mixing holds. And we have like a training area, a little training area now that the gym I train on. It's like really, really nice to build a small space where we could like have like a spray wall and a slab wall. And we can like, we're free there to set whatever we want. We have a lot of holds there. So now we're using that little training area. But of course, it's like hard to compare with like the French team that have like 3-4 training centers and all the holds are in Europe. Everything is there. But yeah, it's a hard comparison to make.
Yeah, so it's kind of up to you to build hard.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Climbs for yourself on a spray wall.
Yeah, and we're like fortunate enough that the Federation helps us travel because they know that we need to train on that structure at least for a few periods of the year. So our Federation really helps sending us like to Europe to training. Like I said, I was in Innsbruck for a month when I injured my knee. I was there training. Every time we go to Salt Lake for road cups, we often try to stay at least like 2 weeks before and then 2 weeks after to get some training done too. And that's how we kind of like deal with it.
Yeah, I'm sure that really does help a lot. I think something interesting that you mentioned is that you do get a stipend for being an athlete, whereas a lot of climbers from even like bigger climbing federations don't get that kind of support. And I guess they also like help like fund your stays in other countries for like training before and after World Cups. I guess how does that like funding work in Brazil? Because it seems like it's really nice that they're putting a lot of money into the sport.
Yeah. So since it became an Olympic sport, we're now like the Federation is now like attached. I don't know the word exactly. Like with the Olympic Committee. And so every Olympic sport gets like a funding from the Olympic Committee per year. And that funding has to be distributed in like different areas. And so they're able to like use some of that funding to like explain that, okay, so we don't have as much structure here yet. And those training programs are really essential to get our athletes to the level they need to. And so they're able to explain it and that's how we can do the training camps. But I'm still like so happy they're able to do it because as you said, like I know that it's a pretty rare thing to have the Federation paying for the athletes to train outside.
Yeah. And then in terms of like the athlete stipend you get, is that your main source of income or do you also do like other like coaching on the side or anything like that?
Yeah, so I do some settings here in the gyms for commercial sets. And I also get money from the government, like for being an athlete. Right now, for having like South American and Pan American results, you get international. It's like a salary that you get for being in, for having international results as an athlete.
Uh-huh.
You get that income from the government. And then I also have it from the Federation and from like one or two private sponsors.
You mentioned that you do like some setting also for some income. Do you feel like the setting helps with your climbing or does it kind of just tire you out in a different way?
It's for sure a bit of both. I always do get tired from setting and that affects a bit my training because it's like, it's hard work. But at the same time, it's like money that's pretty important to me. So I can't like not do it. And I do feel that it helps me getting in the mind of the route setters when I'm also in a competition.
Yeah,
I feel like it helps me know what they expect from the athletes and what they're trying to trick us into thinking.
What kind of stuff do you like to set?
I really love slabs. Like, I feel like that's my strong suit in my climbing as well. And I also really enjoy like feet coordination and coordination in general. So what I like to set here in Brazil, it's normally new school stuff because that's the thing we have the least here. Normally the gym sets are very like rock climbing based because rock climbing here is like a big thing and we have really good rock here. So I always try to bring like new stuff, movements that I've seen in World Cups, like in an easier version. And it's like, it's always taken as well. Sometimes in a bad way, but then it ends up being positive because I think it's something new. So people are like, oh, we don't like this jumpy stuff.
Really?
But in the end, they always learn something new and then they start enjoying it. So I guess it's nice to have it in the gym.
It's interesting that you get that feedback, but I'm glad you're able to change their minds about it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said earlier, unfortunately, I don't know too much about like climbing in South America or Brazil. And also Brazil is like a massive country. Is there like a main climbing city for indoor, like outdoor climbing?
Yeah, so I would say the cities that stand out the most, like in terms of like number of climbing gyms and where most of the strong athletes are, is São Paulo, which is where I live, where I train. We have Fábrica here. It's a gym that's been growing a lot. It's owned by Felipe Camargo. He's like a Red Bull athlete, pretty like strong rock climber. He really pushed the limits for us as well. He's climbed like 9B outdoors and V15. He owns this gym that has three locations here in São Paulo. And then we also have Belo Horizonte, which is in Minas Gerais. They also have a lot of gyms. But our training center is in a city called Curitiba. That's where the World Cup will be. And they also have like three or four pretty good gyms there. So I would say these are the three main like cities for climbing here.
Are those cities like also good for outdoor climbing, or you mentioned that there's good rock somewhere?
That's something that is really, really, really big in Brazil. And I wish more people would come here to climb outdoors because our gym like scene is still developing a lot. It's still growing, but rock climbing wise, we have like so many nice crags. There's like two places. One is called Milho Verde. And the other one is called Igatu. They were both like featured in a North Face video with Daniel Woods and Juliana called Night Moves. I don't know if you've watched it.
I haven't watched that one, but...
They talked like how it's like as big as Rocklands, like both places. It's like endless rock, endless like possibilities, but there's just like not enough climbers out here to open to make the first ascent. So we have like these incredible places that just need like strong climbers to come out here and send everything.
I haven't seen the video, but I'll have to link it in the description and take a look. Do you have any interest in like developing these areas in the future?
Yeah, for sure. Like rock climbing is also how I fell even more in love with the sport. And it's something that we even do here sometimes to get that like try hard feeling, as we don't have it like as much in the gyms. I often like to go try like hard projects outdoor to get me feeling like strong on my fingers and getting that try hard in my mind before a comp. So I feel like that's a strategy we often use here as well. And right now what I think as well, it's like I don't do as many rock trips as I would like to. But I always think like, well, the rocks, they're always going to be there. They're not going anywhere. Whereas the comps, like my climbing career as like a comp athlete, it's going to end like at some point. and I'm going to be way stronger by then, and the rocks are still going to be there. So like, I'm just like not yet doing those climbing trips outdoors as much.
Yeah, you mentioned that like outdoor rock climbing also kind of helps you get in the try hard mentality for comps. Do you feel like it does? I guess I wonder how much it translates, because there's sort of like a different mentality outside compared to comps, where like outside, like you said, it's always going to be there, whereas at comps you really only get a few attempts. So do you kind of try to like bring that comp mindset to outdoor climbing, or does it just like help in different ways?
For sure, the comp mindset helped me a few times outdoors, where I was like not doing a climb, and then I just like centered out, and I was like, okay, imagine I'm like in a competition, this is the last boulder like for me to get a gold, and just try to enter in that mentality, and it made me send the boulder. So I feel like both ways translate well. And also when I'm outdoors, I feel like those are the moments that I really feel connected, like with how I started climbing, and really connected with myself, just being out in nature, you know, touching some rocks. It's like, it really brings me back to like my core. And I feel like that helps me just train harder for the next few weeks. And also just like how the rock is formed is like, you can't just change a few screws and the hold is going to twist a little bit, or you can make the boulder easier. It just is as, it just is as it is. So you either try it really hard or you're not going to send it. And I feel like that's what I get a lot from the rocks when I go outside. I don't know if it makes sense.
I'm sure some people would relate to it. Yeah. I have like a very backwards thinking where I don't really like climbing outside and I don't feel connected to nature. So it never translates for me, but I know for a lot of people it does. So I think other people will relate to that better.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Fair enough.
Just going back to like the Bouldering World Cup that's going to take place in Curitiba, do you think you're going to feel like a hometown advantage, or are you going to feel like pressure that you have to perform?
I feel like pressure will come. Right now I'm not feeling it, but I know for a fact that everyone that climbs here in Brazil is going to Curitiba to watch the World Cup. It's going to be like a big thing, like having the first World Cup in South America. So for sure, it's going to be a great event. I really hope like all the athletes come and compete. And I feel like I will have for sure like support from the crowd, and that's going to like psych me up so much. It has been psyching me up this year. I'm feeling really focused on training, and having the World Cup in my mind is really helping me like train hard every day. So I feel like not even just on the comp, but also like in this preseason moment, it's been helping me to know that I'm going to have a World Cup in my country.
How like is the climbing community big? Like, you think it'll be like a huge showing? People are going to be loud. The crowd's going to be like crazy.
I feel like Brazilian people, they're all very like, loud, like happy and festive. So I feel like it's going to be very nice. I don't think it will be like as many people as like an Innsbruck World Cup or like Chamonix, just because it's been there for so many years. But I really hope we make like a good event and that it happens again in the next years.
Yeah, well, I hope it'll be a good time. How does like crowd noise influence you? Because I've only been to like a couple World Cups in person. I went to one in China where it was like pretty quiet. So the atmosphere was like kind of weird feeling, I think. And then I went to like the Salt Lake one where it was a lot louder, but I haven't been to like any European ones. How does crowd noise affect your performance?
Honestly, like, of course I hear something here and there, like very, it's not that often, because normally when I go into the meds, I fully tunnel vision. And like every time you do like athlete's presentation before starting like a Boulder final, for example, I feel like I normally don't see anyone. It's just like a black wall in front of me. I'm just looking at the clock, and really, really focused on boulders. I feel like that's something that I can do pretty well, like 100% focusing on the climbs. Of course, when I send them, I really like to cheer on and look back and see everyone. But coming into the next boulder is like same feeling.
But going back into mindset, I feel like a few times you mentioned that you don't think you're the strongest climber, so you focus more on mindset and routines and body movement. So I guess, like, first of all, why don't you think you're very strong? Please excuse this brief intermission, but if you're interested in deleted scenes from this episode where we talk about what grade he climbs at B-Pump and also my competition experience, do consider helping support this podcast on Patreon. Some other perks include a membership pin shipped to you after 2 months, prioritized guest questions, or the ability to submit video questions, and more to come. The proceeds go back into the podcast to help me break even, and they help me improve the experience of the guests. If you'd like to help out non-monetarily, liking, commenting, and sharing helps a great deal as well. Back to the show.
I think it has something to do with like starting to climb very chubby and always being like bigger than the other guys. That has always like affected me mentally. Like it's a bit of a struggle, like always feeling fat and stuff like that. And that makes me not feel like as strong. But I also do believe that like just in training, when we go training together, for example, me and my other teammates, Felipe and Samuka, for example, they're like insanely strong. Like we've trained like with other teams and the coaches, everyone always says like how crazy strong they are. They really, really stand out like when it comes to power. And so like every time we spray sesh or just kilter sesh, I always get destroyed by them. Like they're really, really strong. But then in comps, like in the last few years, I've won nationals and South American cups and stuff. And that kept me thinking like that maybe that's why. So like how I always like focused, I knew that I wasn't the strongest in the sessions and that I couldn't beat them on spray walls and stuff like that. So I was like, I went the other way. I was like, okay, if I can't beat them right now on this point, like if I can't beat them on a spray wall, if I can't be stronger, then I'm gonna be like, then I'm gonna be the strongest in everything else. And I feel like that's when I started reading a lot of books about meditation and how to like have a stronger mindset. There's like a really good books that I've read about flow state. And I feel like that really helped me. And I feel like that came as well from having, I wouldn't call it a therapist, but I've worked when I was younger with this woman called Esther, and she would teach me how to, like, at a very young age when I was 8 or 9, just exercises on how to, like, manipulate my own brain in ways that would help me, like, strive in different areas of my life. So, like, different exercises to, like, overcome fear or to be more focused in school. And I feel like all of those exercises translated really well to my climbing, like, competition mindset. There's like, I have like maybe 4 or 5 exercises that I always do before entering a boulder round. And I don't see many athletes doing like a very specific mindset routine before entering the rounds.
What are those exercises?
Yeah, so there's one where I do like, it's like some pretty basic stuff that look kind of dumb, but really work for me. One of them is like just putting my fingers in front of me like this and then opening up all the way to like my sides. And that helps me like being focused on what I'm doing, but still being aware of the whole boulder. Like, and for example, before visualization of the climbs, I always like to do that because I'm like reading exactly what I need to do. But that helps me like, as I have like a panoramic view, it helps me come back and remember the whole climb, remember maybe a foothold that I didn't see, stuff like that. Another thing that I like to do is like, I close my fist and I close my eyes and I remember like all the good moments I've had in comps, like amazing tops or buzzer beaters, or like remembering myself on a podium that I was really psyched on. And I do that like over a few weeks before a comp, and every time I close my fist, and so my brain like associates those feelings with closing my fist. And so right before going into the round, I don't have to like think of all those things and really close my eyes and remember all those things. I just close my fist with the intention of closing my fist. And I already like, I feel like this fire coming inside of me of all those moments that I was memorizing before going into the round. So that's also something that like really, really helps me. I really feel like so much more energized before going into the round when I do this. And yeah, and a few other things that I feel like helped me a lot came from Esther.
Yeah, I love like remembering, I don't know, just like great climbing moments, but I can't always remember them off the top of my head. So yeah, maybe I need to try that and get the psych up. Yeah, are there any like, I guess you mentioned she was kind of like a therapist to you. Are there any like non-climbing related things you learned that you'd want to share?
It was a very long time ago, so it's like hard to remember. Hard to remember like specific things that we learned together that helped me. But I can just say like for sure I became a better person and just learned so much about myself. I still do. Like we still have appointments here and there when I feel like I need to solve like something in my climbing that's not going well. And yeah, I feel like trying to always look not only like when you're struggling to like get over like a lip in your climbing, like when you're stuck in a grade and you want to push yourself, I feel like often it's not just getting stronger. It's like there's so many areas that you can look on before just going like, I need to do more pull-ups. So yeah, I feel like that's what helped me, like doing more mental strategies and working more on technique, focusing more on my diet, how I'm sleeping. That for sure, everything affects a lot your performance.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people often just feel like they should just get strong instead of working on like mindset or movement or anything like that first. I guess, are there any like strength metrics you want to get out there? Like maybe if people hear that they're around a similar like strength level to you, they'll feel inspired to like work on their mindset or movement.
Yeah, so like something funny that I've always knew was like I can barely do a one arm pull up right now. Like it's something that I struggle on. Front levers are pretty hard too, and it's like I didn't do a one arm pull up before being able to like win nationals or send like my first V13 outdoors.
Wow, nice.
So it's like I feel like you can gain so much just from learning movement, learning how to move better on the wall, how to use your hips, your legs, before you need to do those things. Of course it helps. And of course that's like what I need to work on right now. And I do get inspired by people who can do like crazy things on like the Kilter board. But yeah, I feel like it's not everything.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's what everyone should hear. You should be able to climb at least V13, even if you can't do a 100 pull-up. I think that's the story to get out there. And one last thing about like the strength stuff. I might cut this out, but it's just like it keeps sticking in my mind. I feel like I know someone who had like a very similar story to you, where they said that they like started climbing when they were like chubbier. And he says like once a fat kid, always a fat kid. So he just like always feels like that. Even though like he's quite strong now, he's like climbed for a long time. Do you relate to that? Like, do you still feel like that?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Oh my gosh.
That's like something that I always have in the back of my mind. And people always tell me like, stop thinking that. It doesn't make sense. I wouldn't say I have like eating disorders or anything, which I know is like common in the climbing scene to have, but it does like annoy me from time to time.
Yeah, I guess like how does that manifest for you? Like how does it show up or like affect you mentally?
It does get me sometimes, like just feeling more like down, without feeling the side to train more, and then sometimes feeling like I'm not in the shape I wanted to. Makes me want to eat more, like as a counter effect. I don't feel like it's a disorder or anything. It just like makes me a bit more down sometimes. Makes me a bit anxious, and from that sometimes I want to eat more, and then after eating more I'm like, oh well, now I'm just like fat again, you know. But it's like, it's something that I feel like a lot of people struggle with, and I've always tried to have like a good relationship with food. I love eating.
Do you have any like I guess like tips or things that worked for you in helping you get out of that kind of negative mindset?
Yeah, I feel like it often comes like, oh, like I can't do this move just because I'm chubby, or that's the reason why I'm not sending this climb, or, you know, not like feeling strong. But then in the end of the day, when I look back, like that wasn't what stopped me from like getting the results that I did. And those were the times when I was feeling good with myself, and not necessarily I was like 1 kilo heavier or 1 kilogram like lighter. So it's a lot about like your mind. And I feel like we look at ourselves in the mirror always like differently from what we may actually be.
Well, yeah, I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that as well. Whether they're like trying to be full-on athletes or...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Or just like climbing casually. So yeah, hopefully a lot of people can relate to that. Okay, I think those were all the questions I had. So moving on to some of the Discord and Instagram questions that came through. The first one from Instagram was top 3 slab tips.
Damn. I feel like the first one is a classic, but it's like trusting... I did some training with Roman, like the Yanez coach, when I was in, I've been to Slovenia training with them. And one thing that Roman would always tell me was, if you feel like you need to try hard on your upper body, like if you're trying to solve it with strength, you're doing it wrong. Like, of course it's not, like major rule you always have to follow, but it was basically saying like you can always like change your foot a little bit, trust more your legs, your hips. And that really helped me develop my slap game. Second thing I would say is you have to be kind of like not scared to die. Like you have to be like willing to, you know, like, how do you say, like hit your chin or hit your nose on the wall, because it's like, if you're scared of doing the move and you don't fully commit, you're going to slip. And on slab, if you don't trust your foot, you were going to slip. And so if you're willing to like, okay, I don't even care if I hit my shin on the wall, that and trust your foot 100%, that's when you stick in movement. So you got to be fearless on slabs. And I would say that the third point, it's like calm. You have to be really calm. Sometimes in comps, even in the South American comp we had like 2 months ago, just me and Benha sent this really, really hard slab, and it was so long that you only had 2 attempts on it.
Oh,
like
I hate
it was
those.
So long, and it had no handholds, just like foot walking. And most people couldn't send it because after their first try, they saw there was like only 2 minutes on the clock and started trying to rush it. And that's when you started to go around. So if you want to send a slab, you got to really, really breathe and do like everything, feeling that you're in a stable position.
Do you do any like breath work on the wall or off the wall as part of like your mindset work?
I don't do a lot of breath work. I wish I did more. I definitely want to dig more into it. But when I'm on the wall, I always try to like on the slabs, try to keep my heart rate low. I feel like I start getting anxious. It's so hard. It's so much harder to send slabs with a higher heartbeat.
I'm assuming like your shins are all beat up then. You've got a lot of scabs and cuts and bruises on your legs.
Yeah, I feel like I think I still have like one in my shin right here from like 2 days ago.
Yeah. Oh, your chin. I was talking about your legs and your shins.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my shins too, but my chin as well.
Okay. Yeah. It's tough in the shower when you just break something open.
Yeah.
I found a lot of help from using like waterproof bandages. That's my slab tip. Have you tried waterproof bandages?
I haven't.
Oh, it makes a huge difference.
Makes you more confident too?
It's just like after you like have the cut, you don't have to like deal with the pain in the shower of like the water hitting your like fresh cut.
Yeah. And does that make you like, oh, I'm going to commit to this move, and even if I hurt myself, I just put them on and it will be fine?
Yeah. I guess a little. It's like, oh, I know that it'll hurt like when I do it, but then afterwards when I shower, it won't be too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my slab tip. Okay, next question. What are your thoughts on the new rules that limit participation per country from a small climbing country perspective? Do you feel like limiting the participation of developed teams helps smaller nations?
That's a pretty hard one to answer. I feel like in the World Cup scene, you do want the best of the best. But at the same time, you also do want representative from other countries. So it's hard to say, like having only 2 spots for like Brazil and even Australia or like all the other South American countries, and then having like 15 spots for a Japan team when they're like hosting an event, it feels a bit weird to have that big of a difference. But they did earn those spots, so it's hard to say. I feel like it should be like a 3 people. It should be like a 3-person quota for a country, because most countries do it like top 3 in nationals or like in the overall result. Like if you get a medal, then you're on the team and you get to compete. I feel like that's how a lot of the countries do it. And then having to like mix up 2 out of the 3. Makes it pretty hard. And when you're trying to get, when you only get more spots if you're in the top 40, but then you only have two people competing and these people still have to take turns to go, it's also a bit like hard to compare. And also other countries in South America, they won't have like, we're pretty fortunate in here in Brazil to be able to go to like 2 or 3 World Cups a year, but there are some countries who can only go to one. And then it makes it impossible for them going to only one to be in the top 40. Whereas Japan has resources to send athletes to every single World Cup every year. So at the same time that I understand that these countries have like a stronger climbing community, like stronger athletes, they also have so many more resources to be doing that.
So I guess going forward, do you feel like the participation changes will, I guess, like help the smaller countries make progress in their climbing?
I don't think that's pretty hard to answer. I'm like, I'm not sure if it's going to help them because that's not going to make them have more resources, but I feel like it's going to make it more fair and more equal to everyone having a bit less spots. But what I feel like they could have done is like maybe still leave it up to maybe 10 spots for the countries who have a lot of athletes and then just up the number for countries who have less quota to 3 or 4 people, because these countries won't even be able to send like 3 or 4 people. But if there is an event, then they can at least like choose whether or not they want to take 3 athletes or not.
Yeah, makes sense.
What do you think?
I actually really need to read up on the new quota changes. I don't actually know it off the top of my head. I've just seen like some discussion about it. I guess like for the people who are listening who maybe don't know about it, do you want to give like a brief overview?
Yeah. So we've had in the past like 3 years when I started competing, the minimum quota was 3 athletes per country and 5 for road champs, I think. And then recently it changed to only 2 athletes per country for World Cups and 3 in road champs. And for bigger countries, like if you have anyone in the top 40, you gain an extra spot, and people in the top 10, they gain a spot for themselves. So it's like, if you get a spot between 20 and 40, it's a spot for the country. Doesn't necessarily need to be the person who earned that spot. And if it's a top 10 person, then that person is already guaranteed on the circuit. And so that's why Japan had so many people competing per event, because they would always have like 2 athletes for the quota plus 6 or 7 for the top 40 plus like 2 for being host country sometimes. So that's why the number would escalate so much. And in order to reduce that such a big difference, this year they limited the quota to, even if you have people on the top 40, I think the limit is going to be 5, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I wasn't going to form any opinions on it until after I saw how it would play out in the season. So yeah, I think I'll have to wait and see what it feels like.
Yeah, it's like we also, as an athlete, I also want to be competing against the best of the best in the world. So at the same time, it's like we want to see all the Japanese crushing out there, you know? So it's a hard decision. I feel like it wasn't an easy decision for IFSC to make.
I guess, yeah, I kind of wondered how athletes felt this year when a lot of like the top athletes weren't competing in World Cups due to like preparing for the Olympics or maybe resting after the Olympics. I kind of always wondered how that felt, because maybe they didn't really feel like they were competing against the best of the best anymore. So yeah, I'm kind of wondering if maybe people will have a similar feeling given like the quota restrictions.
Yeah, I understand that.
That's my cop-out answer. Okay, so last question, what are the outdoor climbing projects in Brazil that you really want to get done?
So we have Fortaleza, that is like a V15. Now it got downgraded to V14 in recent years. It's the most iconic boulder here. Felipe Camargo did the first attempt. That's definitely a boulder that I would love to send the next few years. Right now, I'm focused on maybe getting a few first ascents done in São Bento do Sapucaí, which is close to here. And there's a V13 there that I really want to get my hands on. It's called 70,000. And something that I didn't said, that I didn't say earlier in the interview or posted it publicly, is that I probably won't be competing in lead anymore.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to just focus on bouldering. I felt like having to mix both in the year, like already feeling a bit behind from the other guys, like wanting to be in semis and having to compete in both disciplines makes it way harder. So this year I made the tough decision of like, of course I love lead climbing and I didn't want to stop competing for it. But I feel like if I want to excel in one of them, I needed to pick one. And that also talks with how like the next Olympics is going to be. Maybe they are going to split it up. So I'm really like trying to take an advantage before it's actually announced.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Do you think one day you'll want to, I guess, either add lead back in or maybe just like totally switch to lead?
Yeah, for sure. I do prefer lead climbing outdoors. So
why is that?
When I'm climbing outdoors, just like the feeling you get when you send a hard route, it's like you just have to put so much more effort into it. And it's like such a bigger fight sending a route than it is sending a boulder, at least for me. Like the feeling I get is so much more fulfilling. And for sure, like I have so many routes that I want to take down in the next few years. And what I thought was like, with bouldering, I am going to get like so much stronger that when I go back into lead, I just need to like get my endurance back, get the like lead flow back going. And I'm going to be much stronger to send all the routes that I want to send right now. And whereas if I was just focused in lead, I feel like it would be harder to transition into like hard bouldering outdoors.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think that is all the questions I had. Is there any like last words you want to get out there or words of wisdom you want to put out into the world?
Well, I guess I wanted to say to if there's any South American climbers who want to become athletes or who are already athletes, it's like believe in yourselves because we can also do it. We just need more belief in our hearts. And to everyone else, I just wanted to say, like, if you can come to Brazil, come watch the World Cup. It's going to be a big event for us. I'm sure it's going to be a great event. I'm so psyched. And yeah, come watch, come visit Brazil. If you guys want, just text me. If you want to go rock climbing or just want to tour around, I can give some tips. I'm open for you guys to text.
Okay, super exciting. Yeah, I can't wait for the World Cup in Brazil. That'll be really exciting. Okay, awesome. Want to let people know where they can find you?
I feel like the easiest would be my Instagram. It's at rodrigo.panada with an H. And yeah, just direct me there and we can talk.
Cool, awesome. I will leave the link in the description. Okay, great. Well, that's everything I had. Thank you so much for joining me today. And it was amazing to talk to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for the invite. It was really great talking to you, Ginny. And I hope climbing grows more and there's more podcasts like yours. It was a great, great experience. Thank you.
Thank you so much for making it to the end of the podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you enjoyed. Otherwise, you are a super fake climber. If you're listening on a podcasting platform, I'd appreciate if you rate it 5 stars and you can continue the discussion on the free competition climbing Discord linked in the description. Thanks again for listening.